This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Apple beats Samsung in court.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Apple and Samsung are locked in legal battles in at least 9 different countries. Apple claims Samsung's products are too similar to the iPhone and iPad and that they violate Apple's patents. Samsung sues back, saying Apple is the copycat. Well, today, an Australian court handed Apple a win and banned Samsung from selling its new Galaxy tablet down under. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has the story.
Full disclosure, I have a Samsung smartphone. And sometimes people mistake it for an iPhone. Florian Mueller is an intellectual property analyst based in Germany. He has a Samsung phone, too.
If you look at the way they arrange the icons, the way most of those icons look, they've certainly made an effort to make that device resemble the iPhone to the greatest extent possible.
Mueller says iPhones contain a lot of components made by Samsung, yet there are more than 20 patent lawsuits between them. So why would Apple go after its supplier, and why would Samsung fight back? UCLA law professor Doug Lichtman says it's kind of like the nuclear arms race.
I've got a lot of nukes. You've got a lot of nukes. The way we ultimately get peace is mutual assured destruction.
Lichtman says it's likely Samsung will pay Apple a licensing fee and be forced to stop producing look-alike products. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Now to the housing market. RealtyTrack said this morning 14% more borrowers started defaulting on their mortgages last quarter than in the previous three-month period. But it's apparently taking lenders longer to actually repossess people's homes. None of that is particularly good news for buyers who are already complaining about the condition of the houses they're looking at. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Realtors call it curb appeal, the extras home sellers throw in, things like landscaping or painting the window trim. But these days, in places hit hard by foreclosures, houses just aren't getting gussied up, on the outside or inside.
The houses are just so crappy right now. They look really terrible.
Sybil Solon and her husband Nils Devine recently bought a house in Oakland, California, and have quite a house hunting tale.
So then I can talk to you about the rats.
So why aren't houses being spruced up? Guy Sakala publishes Inside Mortgage Finance. He says sellers are looking at the competition.
If you're in a neighborhood where all the houses are foreclosed property and all the kitchens look like hell, then you may think there's not a lot of reason for me to fix it up.
So is curb appeal dead? Depends where you live. But if you're shopping for homes in foreclosure land, don't expect granite countertops. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up across Asia and down right now across Europe, with today's debt crisis focus on Italy. The prime minister there, Silvio Berlusconi, just asked lawmakers to support him in a confidence vote tomorrow, saying his government is the only credible alternative. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 102 points to close at 11,518.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. By the PBS Arts Fall Festival, featuring Pearl Jam, Steve Martin, and more. Starts Friday night at 9, 8 Central on PBS. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
You don't have to look far in this country right now to find ordinary Americans who are angry. From Occupy Wall Street to Occupy Boston to Occupy Salt Lake, people are mad and they want action. Well, maybe there's a lesson to be learned from what happened this week at Netflix. The company, of course, tried to spin off its DVD by mail business a month ago. Consumers revolted, and a couple days ago, Netflix backed down. For more on this, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what makes a consumer revolt work?
Well, first of all, you got to be cheesed off. I mean, that's the first step, obviously. But it's not just that, because a lot of people are cheesed off with companies. The big thing that I think that really marks a consumer revolt is disrespect. When a company that you do business with, especially long term, comes off as disrespecting you in some way, as, say, Netflix did with the whole Quickster thing,
right,
then suddenly it goes up to another level.
Well, Netflix customers felt disrespected, but Bank of America customers also felt disrespected. It's clear. It's out there in the news and on Twitter. Everyone's upset about this $5 debit card fee, but doesn't look like Bank of America is going to change its plans.
No, nor does it seem like a lot of people are actually going to leave, even though a lot of people have emailed me to say, oh, I'm going to pull up stakes. And I don't think so. And there's three key differences here. First of all is ease of the revolt. In the case of Netflix, it's pretty much like pulling the plug. I mean, boom, you're gone. You go over to Amazon, you go over to Blockbuster, you do whatever you want. Second, there is more competition against Netflix, which does give you more alternatives. But I think the most important thing here is, in the case of banks, people tend to have a passive relationship with their bank. They seem to feel that they have to take whatever they get. Whereas with a company like Netflix, you feel like, no, I'm calling the shots here. But I do want to say, it's not a passive relationship. You do have the ability to vote with your feet, and there are alternatives, credit unions, for example.
Well, if you're not going to actually leave the organization, though, is there anything that you can do to try to get a consumer revolt off the ground?
Well, you can definitely make a lot of noise, and that doesn't hurt. And you can go to Facebook and go to Twitter. You can do all that stuff. These big companies do monitor the social networks. It is important to them how their reputation is. Also, write letters to newspapers. Subscribe to newspapers, too, for that matter. But most importantly, it's a one-on-one relationship. And if you're dissatisfied with your relationship with your company, make it clear to the company how you feel and make it clear to them that you are leaving.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
And finally, to another story of consumers being wronged. You may have heard about Ryanair, one of these super low-cost carriers in Europe, recently started charging people to use the bathroom on the airplane. That was stingy enough, but now the company has a better idea. It wants to get rid of two of the three airplane bathrooms and replace them with more seats so it can sell more tickets. You know, that's not a bad idea. And really, who needs a seat? I mean, think about how many tickets Ryanair could sell if they just had everyone standing. And actually, most passengers will already be up waiting in line for the one bathroom. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Almost 3 million kids in this country live with their grandparents. Think about that and senior housing for a second.
The communities of the future are not what the communities of the past look like. I think there's a growing need for housing for multi-generational households.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Housing that's kid-friendly and grandma-approved. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.